the reason why people don't feel it's possible or they don't achieve balance is because they haven't defined it. Mm-hmm. And balance is really subjective. And basically, to simplify it, is how do we win in business and marriage at the same time, essentially?
And that's different for every couple.
Yeah. And so, and you measure it by quality, not quantity, because I think that's where people get hung up, where balance is impossible, because we think we got to spend X amount of hours in the business and X amount of hours in the relationship. But it's not so much about quantity, but it's about quality. And so we always want to start with the question of what's the minimum amount of time and focus with each other on a daily basis that will make you feel both husband and wife feel connected to each other, regardless of how busy business can get or life can get.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the None of Your Business podcast. Sean and Lacey with you, just as we are each and every week, and super excited for this week's episode. This week's episode is going to be very, very important for all of you married entrepreneurs. But let me tell you something. All of you who are maybe still single, but are an entrepreneur. So that's
just
all of you.
Just as important.
That's all of you. It's just as important.
Everyone.
I can't tell you how important it is to lay a proper foundation for your relationship as an entrepreneur, number one. And so this episode is going to be very important for all of you who probably have an advantage if you haven't started on that path in a relationship. You're out there, you're building your business, you're doing all of the things. And a lot of people probably say to themselves, well, I just don't have time for a relationship. But at some point, you desire to be in a relationship and then start some of the challenges that every married entrepreneur will face. Others of you are already in the challenges. And so you know exactly what we are talking about, the work-life balance situation. You know, as an entrepreneur, you know, a lot of people became an entrepreneur because they thought that what they were doing was they were escaping the 9-to-5 grind. Like, it'll be super great to just be my own boss. And we talk a lot about that.
And then they quickly realize that it's
that they are their own boss. Well, yeah. They are their own boss and they still have to work just as much, but then they have to be the boss part too. And then they're like, man, I can't believe I traded that. And then comes the pressure of the relationship, right? Because then sometimes you're at home less, you're not able to spend time with your children. And then of course that causes strain on any relationship. Time is critical. Quality time is critical. And then you just figure like, man, like maybe I need to not, you know, put so much time in the business, but hey, that's how we make all of our money. That's how we feed the family. But maybe I just need to find some balance here. And so we went out and got us some legit experts on the topic. Robert and Kaylee Fukui are with us today. Let's bring them in. Welcome to the None of Your Business podcast.
Hey, Sean and Lacey, thanks. Great introduction.
Yes, thank you.
Perfect introduction. Although I wouldn't want to call ourselves experts because it puts a lot of pressure on ourselves, because then we got to look like we have it all together 24/7, right?
Well, I think not having it all together makes you an expert as
yeah,
well,
that's
right?
What I was gonna especially say.
So, that's so we know what not from. To do. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say that first and foremost, that a lot of people, they don't like that term expert.
Right.
I think that what makes you an expert is
life
that
experience.
You've made mistakes. But first of all, you've made mistakes. So if you've never made mistakes, so a lot of people on social media hold themselves out like they're perfect. If you've never made mistakes, and you really don't have anything that you could teach,
right?
Because that's how you know, is because look, I already did it this way and it didn't work out so great. And that was a perfect segue, Robert, to the first question that we ask every guest. And we have two guests today. But that is exactly how we start every show. People think like, in their heads, when they listen to you speak, and as we go through the episode, it's natural for people to think, listen, it's easy for you guys to say, you guys have the perfect marriage. So of course you're up on the screen telling me how to have the perfect marriage. Easy to say when you don't have to deal with this one. Easy to say when you don't have all of the issues I had. Easy to say,
true,
right?
True.
Right? So here's the first question that we always ask. Tell us a little bit about your story. Why are you guys so passionate about working with married entrepreneurs? And what has that journey been like for you? Did you guys just meet, instantaneously fall in love, and you've had the perfect life ever since?
Yeah, let's just go with that.
Yeah, that sounds really great. I like that idea. That's a story over. Story.
I think with every great story, it kind of starts in the beginning, basically like childhood. You know, some of the experiences and the challenges you face in childhood, as you get older and start helping other people, try to redeem those challenges in the past. And kind of how it started for both of us, you know, we both kind of grew up in entrepreneurial households, and seeing that our dads really were just working, you know, I mean, it seemed like 24/7. It wasn't that extreme, but it was a lot to the extent where we felt as kids that we were competing against the business for his attention. And so basically the family took a back seat, and kind of, as you shared in the introduction, you know, you're just doing the right, you know, our dads were, you know, we don't fault our dads. They're just doing what they knew what to do, which was, you know, do as the best they can to provide for the family. And that means work as hard as you can to make as much as you can so that you can help feed the family and help provide a better life. Not realizing the impact that going all in the business was having on the family life.
Yeah. And I think my dad, looking back, he worked 6 days a week, so he wasn't around much. And the business became the mistress in our family. And when I graduated from high school, still to this day, I don't know if he was even there. And I also saw so many businesses struggle that were entrepreneurs. And a lot of times the go-to was, we just need to put in more time, more work, more work, more work, as opposed to looking at some other options and things to grow the business or other things that they could do that maybe had inefficiencies.
Yeah. And then when I was going to school, I knew I didn't, my dad actually was a pastor. And so even though he wasn't a business owner, but running a church and running a business is much the same dynamic. In fact, probably even worse, because there's a felt need to always be available 24/7 to the congregation, which meant therefore the family was taking a back seat, right? So I knew I didn't want to be a pastor growing up. And so I went into business. And so I went into Fortune 500 thinking I'm going to have a, you know, great, great career, cushy career, all the benefits and all that, which I did. But then about 10 years ago, I started thinking about the next step, which was maybe have a business. So I started doing marketing consulting because that was my background and my experience. And the first thing I noticed with my clients was they were working way too hard. And marketing wasn't really the main issue. It was just all the inefficiencies that were in the business. And so they didn't know how to fix that. So what they would do was make it up by just putting more time in. And then as we're rolling into our business, I felt ourselves, or myself specifically, repeating the past of my dad, of just working really hard and not having time for Kaylee. And thankfully, I kind of had a kind of come to Jesus moment and say, what am I doing? I'm just kind of repeating what my dad did and what her dad did. And I go, well, we got to do this differently. And so I had to basically, you know, change how I did work, how I could be more productive. And then again, looking at our clients, one client after another was doing the same thing, facing the same issue. And so I was like, oh, there's a thing here. And most business owners are married. I think statistically it's 70% of business owners are married. And so it was affecting the home life. And even the single guys, they were going so all in their business. Like you said in the introduction, I don't have time for a relationship. And I'm like, well, that's sad. Yeah. So I'm like, you know, you're going to go all in on this business and be successful monetarily, but then not have a life and not have relationships. And what good is that? And so that's kind of what started the journey for what we do now.
It's really interesting too, because I think for a lot of people, it's almost difficult for them to identify that that's what's happening, because they are so, you know, into the business and they're so knee deep in it, trying to figure out and find all these solutions. And like you said, the natural tendency is to put in more time, more energy, more effort, and it takes you farther and farther away from the relationships that you have. So number one, how do you help people identify that this is something that is happening in their life, or help them see that maybe there is this imbalance that's occurring versus them just believing that that's the way that it naturally is?
Well, I think because we're dealing with couples, it's a little easy. What I say is, how would you rate your life on a scale of 1 to 5, and they hear from both sides, and the scores are going to be different, right? How would you relate your life and your relationship? And inevitably, I always joke, it's a half joke to the men, to the husbands. I said, whatever you score, if I ask on a scale of 1 to 10, I said, whatever you score on a scale of 1 to 10, deduct about 3 points and you'll be closer to what your wife is going to score.
What would you say, babe?
you're saying whatever.
So like, what would you say? How would you?
You're saying whatever I say, I would deduct 3 points and that would be more or less what she was saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. So you quality of your life, your relationship.
And are we talking about in the both individuals are entrepreneurs, or there's one entrepreneur married to someone else that's married to stay at home?
Either or. It's just, at least there's one business, right? And you're married as an owner. And so regardless, I look at how would you rate the quality of your life? Mm-hmm. Right?
And so why is that? Why does the male overinflate by 3 typically?
Because we have this tendency that everything's fine. And we're working hard because we're providing a great life for our family. And that's the justification for anything else.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if I'm knocking down in business, everything should be fine. But that doesn't mean your relationship is great. Right. And women are more the opposite. They are more in tune to the relationship. Mm-hmm.
Would you guys begin with the story of your fathers? Would you agree that applied in your personal cases, that your mothers would have or did see the issues?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, my mom, she raised 4 strong-willed children. My dad was, God bless him, out working 6 days a week. And I'm sure she would have loved to have him home a little bit, maybe just teensy-weensy more to help her, because she was going crazy with us kids by herself.
Oh, that's so interesting. So this idea of balance, I want to talk a little bit about that, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, especially as entrepreneurs, they say, you know, everybody is striving for work-life balance. But I often hear the thought process that balance is overrated and not necessarily achievable. So tell us a little bit about how you feel about that and how you help people navigate that concept.
Yeah, it's always a fun conversation to have, because you hear all kinds of different comments about it. So first of all, the reason why people don't feel it's possible or they don't achieve balance is because they haven't defined it. Mm-hmm. And balance is really subjective. And basically, to simplify it, is how do we win in business and marriage at the same time, essentially?
And that's different for every couple.
Yeah, and you measure it by quality, not quantity, because I think that's where people get hung up, where balance is impossible, because we think we got to spend X amount of hours in the business and X amount of hours in the relationship. But it's not so much about quantity, but it's about quality. And so we always want to start with the question of what's the minimum amount of time and focus with each other on a daily basis that will make you feel both husband and wife feel connected to each other, regardless of how busy business can get or life can get. Because, you know, in most businesses, there are ebbs and flows in the demands of it. And, you know, there's some things you can control and there's some things you can't. Like for accountants, for example, you know, obviously when the springtime hits, when tax season hits, you're not going to see them. So you're just going to have to expect that. But we can say, in the midst of all that, what is the bare minimum amount we need to give to each other to make sure we stay connected in our relationship? And it doesn't take a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, Sean, you and I are connected, and Lacey, you and I are connected to Dave Meltzer, because that's how we got connected. And you know, he talks about every morning he spends X amount of time with his wife, X amount of time with his kids. In fact, he says, and he says that, you know, he allocates 5 minutes a morning to each of his kids. And I was thinking, well, that's kind of small, but he says his kids only give him 3 minutes.
He's got extra time.
He allocates 5. The kids only want 3. And so that's just a quick example of how it really doesn't take a lot of time every day to stay connected as husband and wife, and even with your kids. But the key is also intentional time, mm-hmm. right? Not being sidetracked with your electronics, with your phone, or having things going on in your head. Think about what you got to do in the business or something else, right? Having focused, dedicated time, one-on-one time, face-to-face, eye-to-eye with your spouse and your kids.
And finding out what's important to your family member or your spouse. Like, is it, you know, there's all different kinds of love language. Is it physical touch? Is it words of encouragement, acts of service? So sometimes it doesn't take a lot.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was just thinking, you started by saying, you know, you have to define what balance is. And we're big on definition of terms. And I think that that's so important to define, what does balance mean for you and I? What does success in our relationship look like and success in our business look like? But then also secondarily, I was going to say, man, you really need to identify and define what quality means to you. Because you said mm-hmm. it's quality over quantity. And I imagine that oftentimes couples have never articulated or had a conversation around, what does quality time actually mean for me? Because technically that could look very different than for what it means to Sean, mm-hmm. right? So both of those components, I would imagine, are vital in identifying how to have more balance in that.
Let's talk a little bit about warning signs. So people listening, thinking, man, that's good. And hopefully they'll sit down with their significant other and work through that. Let's talk about some of the warning signs that people might be able to see in their relationship or feel in their relationship, but they don't necessarily know that this is a problem yet. But there's some things, what are some things that they might look at and be like, yeah, you know, one, it is a problem. Or two, maybe I'm on a road towards having a bigger issue later.
Yeah. Number one, you know, self-awareness is key, and being totally honest with yourself and not trying to rationalize or justify how much time you're putting into the business, right? The moment you start to justify, yeah, I would love to have more time to do, you know, this or go on a vacation or weekend or be home for dinner. But whenever you kind of follow something with a but, then you know you're starting to justify things and say, okay, time out. There are choices that we all make. And so let's stop making excuses and let's just fix it. Let's say we know we got an issue. And then also be available or being willing to hear from your spouse about how do you feel things are going, and be ready to receive it, because it may not be what you want to hear, but you really need to hear the reality. And a lot of times we'll hear, like even when Kaylee has said this to me in the past too, that, you know, I just want a little bit more time with you, right? When we're going through different periods. And I would do the same thing. I start justifying or whatever, and or think that, oh, you're overreacting kind of thing. Basically, you know, not dismissing her feelings, like what she says or how she feels is not important, but the reality, it is important, right? If it's important to your spouse, then it should be important to you, and vice versa, because you're going to want to be able to share some things and you're going to want your spouse to feel that what you have to say is important. So we can't diminish our spouse's feelings if we want her or him to also validate what we're thinking or feeling, right? And so I think self-awareness starts with number one, but then just being willing to hear from your spouse of how do you think things are going. And now we've identified an issue, because most likely, right, like I said, once the husband might think everything's fine, but the wife is going to think something different, or sometimes it's reverse. We've had cases in our clients, it's a reverse situation. So I'm just generalizing, but usually one tends to think things are better than the other person. And as long as one person feels that, hey, we got some room for improvement here, then we know we got to do something about it.
So how does that work? So then let's say that I start to create some self-awareness and I start to identify that I'm having this problem or that we're having this problem. Then I come to you and I say, okay, we need help because we don't know what to do next. We don't
know
what
fix her
next step. And I say, no, fix her. So how does that look like? How do you work with your clients? Is it like counseling? Do you walk them through action items? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So every once in a while we have, you know, when people organically find our website and they fill out a contact form and schedule a call with us, you know, I have some questions for them to answer. And every once in a while you get these very extreme answers, like basically saying what you're saying, Lacey, is she's the problem. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a fun conversation. So, but usually, even when I read some of these extreme, you know, answers, but usually most of the time they're coming in and they're both have identified there is an issue and they want help. And so we're not counselors, we're not marriage counselors, and we say that up front, but we're business consultants and kind of marriage coaches kind of combined. And what we help couples do, whether they work together or not, is kind of what we would just do with the business in general, is what is the vision? Mm-hmm. What does success look like? And then what are some action steps we can do to get to that goal and to that vision? Now, we will do that in business, right? So why not just apply it to your entire life? So the vision is, what's your vision for your life? And how does the business fit into it? How does the business supposed to be in addition to support your life, not take over your life? And then what are the big goals you want to achieve? And then based on your situation now, what are some action steps we can take to get to that realization?
We get them dreaming together and talking, and they're like, oh my gosh, we've never discussed this. We never talked about this stuff before. And include each other in your dreams so you know what direction you're going forward, and you can both buy in, and you're a lot stronger together. Once you come up with a vision or plans, you're like, okay, yeah, that's what I want to do. And sometimes your dreams are way bigger than you thought, and even better once you've communicated that to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of times we start going in, you know, you get married, but then over time and life happens and things get busy, you start running in these parallel tracks and almost divergent tracks. Mm-hmm. And you haven't intentionally come back and say, okay, what are we supposed to really be doing? And how, what's our kind of vision, like as a couple, but then even individually, sometimes you want to do some different things, but there's also those common things, right? And then how do we just support each other, fulfill what you want individually, but also as what we want to do as a couple and as a family. And so just being very intentional about what the vision is, and then you go in and try to build a plan and work a plan.
You know, it's unique. You guys work together. Lacey and I also work together. And I hear that a lot, like, oh, that's quite unique. I also hear, though, me and my wife, or me and my husband, we tried working together and we figured out that wasn't the best thing. And so what we did was, for the
sake of our relationship,
we just decided not to work together. Are there ever situations where that's the case, where people come to you and you're like, listen, here's the problem, is that you guys are trying to work together and maybe you would work out better in the relationship side if you guys could figure out that that's what is causing the issues. Oftentimes what it is that somebody in some role, not in all roles, but sometimes in some roles, they have an issue being a subordinate. Like, you're telling me what to do. Oh, sure. And then that then blends over into the relationship, because now the work is over, somebody's still mad about what happened during the day. And then that's where people are like, this just isn't worth it. We could save our relationship or we could save the business. Do you ever run into that?
We run into that, we do. And we also run into people are not in the right positions. So say, for example, we needed book work done. So Robert put me into book work. Well, I am not bookkeeping. I am not detailed like that. I'm more the creative.
We talk about that.
That happens all the time.
I talk about that all the time. Why would you make somebody do the money that's not into that? Yeah.
It's like the hardest thing, and somebody has to love that.
Exactly. And ironically, in that specific situation, I'm always the one that's been better at math and could handle QuickBooks and all that, but I didn't want to deal with it. So, and this is what happens to our clients too, right? Yeah. Selfishly, I unload something I don't want to do to someone that's not their gift.
Right. And so I'm trying to do QuickBooks while I'm putting it off, actually, because I really don't want to do it. And then Robert's like, honey, did you get that done? Did you get that done? No, when are you going to get that done? So then I go in there and I do my best. And then he comes back and he says, honey, this isn't right. How'd you come up with this? And he's all frustrated and I'm upset because I'm thinking, I'm doing this because you asked me to, and now you're not happy. And now I'm stressed and he's triggered and we're a hot mess because nothing's working out.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we're experts because we've made the same mistakes that a lot of our clients have, and
right,
maybe you guys have too. But, you know, stay in your lane, right? We want to know, what are we really good at, and get and position ourselves in those roles. But to from just a more even a simplified approach, you know, when you're talking about couples not being able to work well together, it all comes down to communication and conflict resolution. You know, how do we communicate to each other? And when there's an issue, how do we resolve it? And regardless if it's just in your relationship side at home or in business, that's just a skill, a transferable skill. And so really a lot of the issues that we're talking about is just, you know, communicate better. It's like, hey, maybe you're not good at it. Let's figure out a different role for you, but then who's going to fill the gap? And, you know, knowing how to really resolve the issue without it getting heated, like instead of me getting frustrated at her getting frustrated at me, is just take a time out and say, okay, obviously this isn't working. How do we fix this? Right? Without it taken personal. And I think that's the challenging part when couples are working together, is that blurred line of the personal issue versus business. And we'll discuss a topic that should be, if you were just talking it to with one of your executives or one of your employees, it wouldn't become as heated as it is if you're talking to your spouse, right? But it's because of that relational component that all of a sudden we just take what's a business issue and we make it personal, and then it just blows up. And it's just about one, not taking it personal, and just let's communicate, let's resolve the issue, not take it personal, and then figure out, again, going to roles, what's the best role for me, what's the best role for her, and get positioned at that instead of just trying to fill an open seat because it's cheaper to hire your spouse.
You don't have to pay them.
Or you don't have to pay market rate. Like one of our clients, the husband was the salesperson, and she wasn't even paying him a commission on sales. And I'm like, why not? He's, well, because, you know, basically because he's my husband. And I said, yeah, but, you know, at some point, you're going to either hire a new salesperson or hire somebody to take his spot. And if you're not budgeting in for commissions, really what you're doing is you're operating under inflated margins.
Right.
And you're going to find yourself being challenged to find a replacement because you can't afford the replacement because you haven't actually budgeted in and been working under that assumption of paying a salary plus commission. And so there's practical issues with that too. And quite frankly, relational issues, because you don't want to, as a spouse, I wouldn't feel valued if I was being underpaid.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and I know that you guys work with a lot of people and help them navigate this journey, but you've also taken all of this information and great things that you've learned, and you put it into a fantastic book called Tandem. And all of our listeners can find it on thetandembook.com or on Amazon. I saw that it was on Amazon, but they can also download the first chapter for free, right? So tell us, people listening right now, who is this book for and why should they get it?
So if you're married and have a business, and whether you work together or not, right?
Or you want to be married and have a business.
Yeah. And because the reality is really is there's only one chapter that's specifically for married couple. Mm. Because this topic of, you know, it's Tandem, the Married Entrepreneur's Guide for Greater Work-Life Balance. And the work-life balance is the key thing. That's the overarching theme. And even as a single, and I think singles are even worse at it. When you're single and doing a business, it's even worse. You're going 24/7 because you don't have someone that, you know, cares about you, that wants to talk to you.
That's a home waiting for you.
Right. And, yeah. And then again, to your introduction, I don't have time for relationship.
Right.
Right. And so if you just want to have a better life and don't want to, if you want to grow the business, but actually have a life and enjoy the journey as you're achieving in your business, then this is a book for you. And how do you do it? How do you do both well? You don't have to give up one for the other.
Right.
To have success. Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope that people will check it out. Thetandembook.com, riding the tandem bicycle, riding in tandem. I love the concept. Robert and Kay Lee Fukui, thanks for dropping in. You guys absolutely crushed it. This is all super valuable too. Right. I think that it's easy, depending on where you are on sort of your entrepreneurial journey, to minimize the importance of getting this right until it kind of blows up in your face.
And you're forced to get it right.
Right. Well, or you just have to, you know, either you lose your business or you lose your relationship.
Right.
We've seen both happen to people. And so you guys are providing an extremely valuable service actually to humanity, right? Because these businesses that service humanity could go under because they don't have the relationships right, or then the relationships, they go under, right? And the business goes on. But then, like they mentioned, you have children involved. There's a lot that, that happens there. And so you guys are providing an amazing service to the world. And Lacey and I appreciate that. And we appreciate you dropping in on the None of Your Business podcast.
Thanks, Sean and Lacey. I really appreciate it. A little funny sidebar on the title of your podcast. So we had to spend a few minutes earlier today because Kaylee kept calling it the Mind Your Business podcast. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, are we going to be on the Mind Your Business podcast today? I'm like, no, None of Your Business podcast. She brought it up like three times this morning. And I'm like, it's None of Your Business.
And I had to write it down because I didn't want to say it the wrong way.
So maybe that's a spinoff name. That's a new podcast.
Yeah, we can make that.
Podcast. I love it.
Mind your own business.
I love it. Well, folks, there you have it. Robert and Kaylee Fukui. Sean and Lacey here signing off from this edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. I don't know how we're going to possibly top this one next week, but we'll give it a go. We might have a new banner, a new everything. Who knows?
We're
adaptable.
Robert and Kaylee Fukui, thank you guys so much. Everybody, we'll be back again next week. Don't be sure to miss it. Don't miss out. The None of Your Business podcast will be back again.